Big Finish presents Doctor Who Short Trips. The Infinite Today by Sharon Bidwell. Read by Katie Manning. Jo opened her eyes, shaken from a most excellent dream. She'd solved the Earth's problems. The air was clear, the oceans clean, and war was long forgotten. She gasped, along with fellow passengers, as the plane juddered and dropped what felt like several hundred feet. She glanced out of the window, expecting the worst, and was relieved it was just turbulence. Both the plane and her nerves settled. No multi-tentacled alien flew alongside, preparing to grab their vulnerable aircraft from the skies. Only dark clouds scudded by. Jo settled back, tired. She couldn't wait for the plane to touch down in Mexico, especially if they were going to pitch and sway all the way. The pilot's voice drifted through the speakers.
Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be through this soon.
Jo marked time on her watch before the plane leveled off. She snuggled back and closed her eyes. She wouldn't mind a nap before... Jo blinked, waking in time to hear the announcement to prepare for landing. So soon. She couldn't have slept that long. She'd only just closed her eyes. Jo gazed out of the window, eager to see the forked, futuristic-looking terminal of Aeropuerto Internazionale Benito Juarez. But the view was all wrong. She must still be dreaming. But this isn't right! Jo's voice emerged too loud, insistent. The woman in the middle seat gave her a puzzled look, but Jo ignored it. That's not Mexico City International Airport. Why would it be? The woman dismissed her, edging away as much as the space allowed, which wasn't far. Not wishing to badger her, Jo turned to a passing member of the cabin staff. Excuse me, is it true we're landing at Gatwick? Of course, madam. We're right on time. Jo sought some way to make sense of what was happening. Is there some problem with the plane? Why did we turn back? Mild irritation flashed across the attendant's expression. Turn around? But we didn't, madam. I said we'd arrived on schedule. We're not landing at Mexico International. Not on this flight, we aren't. I'm sorry, madam. If there's some issue you wish to discuss... We'll deal with it once we've landed. Please, now fasten your seatbelt. The look in his eyes said he wished the belt were a straitjacket. Jo's instinct to argue arose, but she snapped her mouth shut, trapping the disagreement. Quarrelling would do no good. She gripped the arms of her seat as though she developed a sudden fear of flying. What was wrong with her? She was so sure... She struggled to think of any logical reason for these strange events. Jo rose from her seat to queue with the other passengers, making their way to the exit. Crew members spotted her. One looked away. Two exchanged whispers. The attendant she had spoken with stepped forward. Madam, are you all right now? Yes. Yes, I fell asleep. Bad dream. Though they'd think her crazy, Jo asked, I've been aboard the entire time, haven't I? Of course, madam. The woman sounded uncertain. Do you want us to call someone? No, it's quite all right. Jo stepped off the plane with a sense of displacement. What to do next? As she had appointments in Mexico, the only logical solution was to visit the check-in desk. Right. Let's try this again, shall we? Jo said under her breath. This time, no sleeping. Jo made the promise as she stepped on board, coming up short, causing someone to bump into her. Shock rendered her unable to apologise. Don't panic. Think. Jo walked a few paces, head lowered, alarm growing. Some planes performed a fast turnaround, but surely not with the same crew. How would she survive the flight with the staff treating her as if she was a madwoman? Having no choice, Jo met the gaze of the flight attendants, one of whom gave her a dazzling smile. With too many questions threatening to send her into a spin, after settling, Jo attempted to catch the gaze of flight crew, seeking the averted glances and whispers she dreaded, but received only smiles. She gripped the arms of her seat to make herself stay.
Nervous flyer? A woman asked as she slid in beside Jo.
I never used to be, Jo muttered as she glanced over and froze at the sight of the familiar face. Dark hair, brown eyes, the same woman as earlier. Jo glanced around. Though she hadn't taken much notice of the passengers, she recollected several of them. Same crew and passengers. No, not twice over. Jo pinched her arm and bit back the resulting ouch. The woman hadn't spoken to her before, so maybe there would be other changes.
Don't worry, I know the feeling. But I have never been on a flight as bad as I feared.
The click of the woman's seatbelt punctuated her declaration. Jo sat immobile, unable to respond. Get off or stay? A premonition, maybe. Must be. Some kind of... She didn't know. Time spillage? She'd experienced stranger things, survived them, and she would again. Mexico needed her. The plane took off with Jo still frozen. No sleeping. Not a wink, Jo. Her head lulled, jolting once soon after takeoff. A bump jolted Jo into the waking world. Alas, the view outside the window was far too familiar. Gatwick again. No. The word slithered out a moment before she jumped as a hand brushed her arm. Her unwanted travelling companion peered into her face, asking, "Are you okay?" If Jo didn't speak, the woman might call over a crew member, which she didn't want. "I'm fine. Glad to land." With luck, she didn't appear manic. Did the woman remember their brief exchange upon takeoff? Jo didn't want to ask her. Pointless wasting precious moments consulting the crew. Only one thing for it. Jo made her way through the airport, struggling to appear relaxed at passport control, collecting her case and rushing out of the terminal. One word flashed in her mind like neon. Unit. Though she no longer worked for them, no one else, not even Cliff, could help her. She grabbed the first cab available.
"Morning, darling. Nice trip?" the cabbie asked.
Jo had only one answer. "Shorter than expected, I'm sad to say. No time at all, yet interminable." Despite all the supposed sleep, she didn't feel rested. She wanted to close her eyes. Too scared to... A touch on her arm alerted Jo to a commotion. The woman with the long dark hair and brown eyes smiled.
"Sorry to disturb you, but we've landed. What did you do? Take a sleeping pill?"
She reached into the overhead locker.
"I thought for sure the turbulence would wake you."
Hands trembling, Jo fumbled with her seatbelt, her movements stiff, awkward, as the woman became one of a line of shambling passengers. Words expressing her condition floated through her mind. Pale, ethereal, nauseous. Though Jo was far from the girl whose grandfather had spoiled her with ice cream without her parents knowing, she felt young enough, helpless enough to be a child without any of the pleasure. A hard, tight knot formed in her stomach. She had looped, always the same, but each a little different. Was this to be her existence? Stuck forever, landing at Gatwick? A peculiar kind of purgatory? If only she could summon up the doctor with a wish. If someone had messed with time, if he wasn't involved, maybe it was them, the Time Lords. Only the doctor she had last seen told her that they were dead. If she ruled out them, then who? A bubble of hysteria drove to bark out on a laugh. With the act of suppression, a little of her determination returned. This was a problem like any other, and for much of her life, she had solved problems. She decided. Only thing to do was to let the scene play out. Jo rose and gathered her possessions. She joined the stragglers, studying faces. Maybe whoever caused this was on the plane, observing. She spied nothing unusual. But how could she know? If time reoccurred but slipped, how many repeats might she endure before time advanced enough to provide her with answers? With luck, at some point, she'd reach UNIT. She couldn't bear to consider the alternative. What felt like grief engulfed her. "I'm being silly," she whispered, but she wasn't. The fear was genuine. But that didn't mean she had to give in to it. She walked into the terminal, met the stares of people waiting for passengers, bored expressions contrasting with excited, happy faces, and wished someone were waiting for her. A sign with Jo written in a flourish brought her to a halt. A face she recognised came into view. Dark hair, displaying a will of its own, flopped over a large forehead. His eyes contained an actual sparkle. Features not unhandsome, but with a touch of eccentricity. A baby face she had fast grown used to. One had to, with the doctor. "Am I dreaming?" she asked. "Me or the never-ending plane trip?" "Either, both." She wanted to laugh, but didn't quite dare. "Maybe. Doubtful. Probably not. I'd say no." Despite her predicament, Jo chuckled. "Why didn't you say so?" "I am. I did. A moment ago." He hurried off. Jo, afraid of losing the only connection to any type of reality, scurried to catch up. "So, who's behind this, Doctor?" "Not entirely sure. Aiming to find out." Jo tried to curb her disappointment. The Doctor didn't know everything, but he always found out. "You can leave the case. It'll catch up with you." A moment of confusion brought on by the doctor's statement swiftly passed. "You mean it's going to happen again?" She'd rather hoped it wouldn't. "Afraid so, Jo." "Well, I... Well, Doctor, I can't leave it. I mean, an unattended bag at the airport." The doctor stopped to peer around. "Sorry, should have thought. Not to worry, we're here now." He stared at the lit-up notice boards displaying menus. "You want to stop to eat?" Jo's irritation crept into her tone, causing the doctor to stare at her. "Took me some time to catch up with you. I'm hungry." The doctor perused the boards. "You must be starving." "Well," Jo hesitated. "Actually, no." Strange in itself, as she'd looped for hours. "Best not to depend on what your body's telling you. Time distortions can take their toll. You need food." He inspected what was on offer in a chiller cabinet. "Not that I'm sure much of this counts as actual nutrition. I think, a good old sarnie." He snatched up sandwiches, glancing at a plastic yogurt container as a woman picked it up. What's that? Is it good? Ooh, looks good. I bet it's good. Ooh, don't mind, do you? Right then. He took it from her hand and left Joe to mouth, sorry, to the surprised woman. Rather exciting. Trying new flavours. He patted his pockets. He lifted his eyebrows in an apologetic manner. Wanting to get on with what was happening to her, Joe paid.
I saw that, the doctor said, aiming for an empty table.
Saw what? The eye roll, the doctor said. But I didn't, Joe protested.
You did, in your head, he accused.
True. So she didn't argue.
You'll get the money back, the doctor told her.
You don't need to, Joe broke off again. You mean the loop? It's a loop, isn't it? I caused something similar with the axons to save the Earth, if you recall. He spoke of a long time ago. An image of her version of the doctor filled her mind. Well, that doesn't explain why it's happening to me. The doctor picked at the transparent film of the plastic sandwich casing. Wait, Joe said. Doesn't the loop mean food will disappear even though I've eaten it?
That may well be. So my advice is eat when you can.
That's the plan. An eternity of plastic airport food. Purgatory just became hell. You'll be here, though, won't you? Next time? Joe tried not to sound desperate.
Where did you think I'd be?
The doctor picked at the transparent film of the plastic sandwich casing.
This is defective. Can you do this? I can't do this.
Joe grudgingly tore the container open. The doctor took a bite and spoke around the mouthful.
Plastic. Curse of the universe, he mumbled. No, just planet. No, never mind. Now, tell me all. I need to know.
Well, there's not much to tell. The events fell from her lips as she told him of the last few minutes. Hours. Days. Questions spiraled, but she ignored them. She didn't know how long she had, and she wanted to recount as much as possible. At least this kept her occupied. She stopped speaking.
You've thought of something, the doctor said. There's always something.
It only happens when I fall asleep.
Ah!
The doctor's loud exclamation made several people nearby jump. Does my falling asleep have any special meaning?
No idea. It's certainly interesting, the doctor said.
So all I need to do is to stay awake.
Not sure it's going to be that easy, Joe.
He did the switch again, from cheerful to grave. Why not? Couldn't I stay with you, keep talking, at least then... Oh, he wasn't listening. He was muttering again. The question is... Does it happen when you fall asleep, or do you fall asleep when whatever it is happens?
Where are you off to?
Mexico.
Ah, of course.
The doctor's voice went quiet. Plenty of environmental threats in Mexico. Big country, large and growing population, likely to double in around 30 years. Poverty, pollution... Conservation, not a priority for a nation like that.
Yes, but that's what we're trying to change, Joe objected. Yes. Ah.
He didn't complete the sentence and didn't need to. No need for him to tell her they weren't moving fast enough. The same could be said for the whole planet. Governments everywhere should have hit the ground running. Instead, they took baby steps and now jogged to catch up when they needed to sprint. They're cutting down trees at an unsustainable rate, Joe told him. The speed of deforestation was heartbreaking.
Yes. All very sad, really.
He made it sound not at all sad. Is that all you've got to say? Despite her more immediate dilemma, the activist in her took over. I expected better from you, Doctor. No, I demand it. People with families, children to feed, they often have little choice other than to put their own lives first. a defense constantly used by those without good reason to need it. The thought wasn't entirely fair, but Joe couldn't help thinking it. I don't want to hear that. His stare was so intense as he said,
I know, Joe.
What was he trying to tell her? Do you have any idea how diverse Mexico is? If the native plant life dies out, then so many potential medical cures will be lost forever.
Yes, Joe, I know. I'm not the one who needs convincing.
Of course not. I'm sorry, Doctor. It's just a hateful world sometimes, and I just get so... Why are you smiling?
That's me, Joe. That's what we need. Some fighting spirit. So that was his game, bolstering her resolve to hold herself together.
Doctor, I never give up.
Good. Now, why and where were you going?
Mexico City to begin with. Joe furrowed her forehead as she tried to recall. Too many to list, so she dug out her itinerary and handed it over.
I see. Mexico City, through Guerrero, Oaxaca, Chiapas, up to Yucatan. Ooh, cool.
He sounded thoughtful, almost unconsciously touching his bow tie. My schedule is flexible as long as I'm in Calakmul by the 3rd of the next month.
Why? He asked.
The answer came to her, but without feeling, like reading from a pamphlet. I'm meeting representatives involved with biodiversity research and...
Joe!
The doctor interrupted her. Might I inquire how this came about?
The words wouldn't come. She didn't have an answer.
The doctor searched her gaze.
Oh, they're good. They're very good. Very clever. Getting craftier. Contacted you, didn't they? Someone. All the arrangements made.
They? Did he mean the Time Lords? Joe's words came from a distance. Dreamy, mechanical. Meeting to discuss agroecology. I want to see for myself. Help to raise awareness. When did she make that decision?
Yes, of course you did.
He peered into her face, lifting a spoon to his mouth.
Blech!
The strange noise from the doctor snapped Joe from her trance. He spat out his first mouthful of the concoction from the plastic pot.
This is the opposite of good. It's disgusting, dreadful.
He peered around in search of the woman he'd taken it from, as though he might give it back to her.
Doctor,
Joe placed a hand on his arm. Please, please, why is this happening to me? He met her gaze with an expression of surprise that quickly softened.
Not to worry, Joe. Someone's messing with you. But I think I know who. Everything's going to be fine. I promise you.
Fine words, but Joe wanted to fight something she could get her hands on or pit her wits against. The doctor meant well, but... sometimes... She closed her eyes in frustration and covered her face with her hands.
Why is she not on her way?
A tinny voice spoke. Joe can understand, but it's not English or any language of Earth. It's like with the... She strains for the word. But blue box is the best she can come up with. Yes, something translating for her. There's no sense of herself. She's a mere consciousness. If her body exists, it's a long way from here.
This should not be happening.
The second voice, more shrill. Joe labels them one. And two. What would the... She searches for his name, but it slips away, refusing to be caught, though the idea of him provides comfort. He'd tell her to gather information. She listens.
Every time we try, time slides and folds,
Number One complains.
How?
Two inquires.
This we do not understand,
the first answers.
This is why we delve into her knowledge, to find the answer.
What does it mean? Who is we? Both these beings? More?
We will dig it out of her brain, if necessary.
The second sounds decided. Dig? No. No, Jo argues, though she cannot speak.
We should not do anything to draw attention to ourselves,
One admonishes. Good. Then don't, Jo orders them. The procedure sounds painful, maybe fatal. Number Two sounds more in charge.
We must take the risk. Pull it from her memories. If that doesn't work, we'll take it from her brain.
Jo came to, stumbled. A security officer loomed. Other observations filtered through. Suitcase. The nothing to declare lane. Miss, are you all right? I'm fine. In a softer tone, Jo added, thank you. Strange behavior might result in arrest or the search of her bags. Better to pretend embarrassment. Oh, so clumsy of me. So sorry. Jo made the excuse and fled. Doctor, I was somewhere. They talked about digging information out of my head. She let him lead her by the arm. Doctor, I'm scared. Almost impossible in a busy airport, but they found a quiet corner. The doctor spun to face her, stared into her eyes, studying her, muttered, No. No, Jo. This is no fun. Fun? Was he having fun? Jo stood still while the doctor scanned her with the sonic screwdriver. He didn't appear to like the readings. This is all wrong. Terrible. Listen, Jo, I thought we had more time, but it's breaking down, yes. Breaking down. But I won't let anything happen to you, I promise you. You've got to remember that. If nothing else, try not to panic. But, Doctor, what is happening? Do you know? I thought the time slip linked to the plane, but... Time slip? Yes, Jo. Good definition. Think of it as a game, a contest. She snorted. Battle more like. I'm making them unhappy, Jo, but I don't want them to know why yet. I need you to empty your mind for as long as you can. But whatever happens, you've got to remember, you're not alone, no matter how scared you are. An uneasy thought began to form. He must have seen it in her eyes. Jo, your life depends on this. On you. Tell me you understand. She squared her shoulders. But what am I going to do? Although she already knew. What I'm telling you. You won't like what comes next, but then neither do I. They're playing me at my own game. I thought they'd stick to knocking the balls around a while longer. Doctor, what are you talking about? Earth, game, table, balls, long, pointy stick things. But never mind that now. Jo, I need you to go back to sleep. She shook her head. She couldn't. Just once more. I have a plan. I'll explain everything as soon as I can. You have my word. How did one argue with his earnest, open stare? The doctor looked like he would burst with longing. If he wasn't talking, it was because he didn't dare. The doctor put his arms around her. Jo closed her eyes. is no sense of falling asleep this time. The surface she lies on is hard. For a second, she's grateful. Maybe she can enjoy a few moments of real rest. Though, wasn't she talking to someone a moment before? His name escapes her. And what's that smell? Impossible to describe as anything but chemical. Whatever it is, it's unpleasant, and she wants to wrinkle her nose. And she cannot move. Not even facial muscles. She lies dormant, alive, breathing. At least she must be. Or how else can she be conscious? She tries to swallow. Can't. She's alone. A sudden truth sends panic through her, commanding limbs to shift, but they don't. Come on, wriggle a toe, a finger. Her body won't obey. Someone, something is touching her.
So strange, so fragile,
Number One says. Two chimes in.
What is so special about this female? No other has fought these manipulations.
The first answers.
She is strong. She resists, has help.
The voice is full of admiration.
Who?
Two's voice conveys irritation. A third voice breaks in on the conversation, though there's not much to tell them apart. Says,
we must find out. Can we not kill her?
Two inquires. Joe is happy to hate Number Two.
A possibility.
The third one answers. Joe's heart flutters.
No, against the rules. Always better it appear accidental.
One is the voice of reason.
No longer possible.
Two insists. What do they mean by always? Have they done this before?
Her life matters little.
Hateful Two's voice turns bored.
We have met interference. We must know who. Are we certain we have permission?
One asks.
Those who would oversee time want it this way.
Number Three explains. Are they talking about the Time Lords?
Maybe that is who troubles us.
Two is thoughtful.
Why would they meddle with what they have asked for?
One sounds doubtful. Do they mean the Doctor? The sudden awareness places them both in danger. She shouldn't think of the Doctor, but he's closing in because he told her so. He told her not to be scared. Told her he would never abandon her.
Will we return her? Try another time?
It's hard to tell how Number One feels about this.
Only if possible. Lest her death seems an unfortunate disaster. We can extract what we need. She should not miss such a small portion of her brain.
Easy for Number Two to say. Move. Fight. Flee. Her body ignores her. She strains, pushing, stretching, screaming, yelling for the Doctor, all in silence. Her fear can grow no greater. Yet it does. No. There's pressure. Doctor. Something sharp. No! There's pain. Doctor! The Doctor's voice breaks in. Hello? Joe came to in the back of a taxi cab, hurtling along a motorway. Questions rammed into her, left her gasping.
Here, is she all right, mate?
The cabbie asked. Quite all right, trust me. I'm the Doctor. Instead of reassuring him, the cabbie was more alarmed than ever.
Doctor, eh? Oh, I hope she's not going to throw up nor nothing.
Nothing to concern you. The Doctor at last sounded troubled, but not over her condition. How could the Doctor remain composed while her pulse galloped?
All right, mate, as long as she ain't going to throw up nor nothing.
The cab driver fell silent. They moved onwards, rain clouds making the world a dark tunnel. She should tell the doctor what happened, but he was there with her somehow. She chose to start at the beginning. You did this. You made me loop. No choice. The doctor looked over, sorrow in his eyes. She could barely stand it. I gave you a clue, you know. Axons. Bit more complicated this time, but classic old causality at work. Imagine a struck billiard ball, the future. Ball emerging from a time machine in the past before its future self enters to strike itself, diverting its path. Though Jo understood causality, all she said was, explains the pointy stick remark. Oh, consider me as the past billiard ball. You, the one it strikes. The aliens are the sticks trying to straighten my loop. It's why you've been slipping further along each time. Sort of. Had to knock you sideways, as it were. Anyway, to catch up. Well, why didn't you... She began to ask why he hadn't told her. Picked her up in the TARDIS. But she knew. You needed to locate them through me. You used me. To save you. Did my best. The doctor somehow managed to sound apologetic and put upon. But how? Tagged you. He switched to sounding proud. Well, sort of. A telepathic label put on when I scanned you. The moment they learned of its existence, before they could take a section of your mind, might I add, they received a warning. Either fabulously impressive or remarkably invasive, but it saved her life. And it broke the connection, added Jo. That's my girl, he grinned, sounding a little like her old version of the Doctor. Despite having met him before, Jo still struggled not to think of this Doctor as a stranger. He looked so young. But why? You interfered when you said you can't look back. Some changes can be so big they create ripples in the universe, he said. Ripples? Well, what changes? He couldn't mean little old Jo. She couldn't be so important. I needed to track the source. I'm so sorry, Jo. I didn't want to hurt you, but if they'd gone into hiding, I might have failed. I needed your help to set a trap, to get a message through. Trap, spoken with a nasty-sounding T, but Jo was more concerned with her own questions, from which she had so many to select. Why, when the doctor had so much time available, was there not always enough? Fine, she said, finally settling on a question. But why me? And who's responsible? The doctor studied the passing landscape. Since the loss of Gallifrey, other time-capable races have taken it upon themselves to monitor time, often interfering in ways the Time Lords wouldn't. Despite fighting to clear her mind, Jo raised an eyebrow. She respected the doctor's sarcasm. Organizations operating under the radar. Agencies within agencies. Races acting for profit from other races. He made a funny, wavering gesture with his hands. Lately, I've been knocking around, trying to remain out of things, keep to myself. Not always successfully, obviously. But that's so boring. So I thought I'd have a nose around, see what some of my old friends were up to. And this date popped up. A new, much earlier date for your death. Well, I couldn't resist. But to find out my death... Shock turned her cold. We were going to die in an earthquake near the end of the month. Jo processed this. Do many die? No more than history dictates. The facts still refused to sink in. I don't understand... What did they believe I might do on this trip? Jo, I don't think it had anything to do with your plans.
Not this time. I'm sure they were not your plans at all. I think they wanted to stop what you will accomplish in the future. But, Doctor, what things?
The doctor wouldn't say. One glance in his eyes told her so. Joe, you must trust me. It wasn't your day to die.
You've seen my death.
Not seen. His gaze became furtive.
You know when?
She gently pushed. Joe, I remember several dates.
Then you can't say this wasn't the right one, Joe protested.
I can. I do. The doctor lay a hand over one of hers.
Why, Doctor? How?
Because he tightly squeezed her hand. Because there's so much more to come. She wanted to scream.
What things? He wouldn't say, though. The doctor wouldn't enlighten her about her own future. As though he read her mind, he said,
"Trust me, Joe. You don't want to know the things I know."
The things he didn't want to know himself, no doubt.
Joe dismissed the thought and asked, "Was I really there? Taken elsewhere?"
The doctor straightened his bow tie. "Not exactly. Call it more a psychological connection."
"So," Joe began, "the danger wasn't real?"
"Oh, it was real, all right. What the mind believes can affect the body, particularly if given the right push."
She took a moment to digest this. "So, who were they?"
"Synthesh. Odd race." His tone became more upbeat.
"In what way?"
"Oh, all sorts. Not many left. Black rings around the eyes. Freelancers can be quite treacherous. Function like a collective. Think of each other as one being, though they're not. All that we business gets annoying."
So could the doctor. Joe fought not to smile.
"What if they ignore the warning? Try again. You won't be there to protect me. You said I move about too much to find."
"I did, but this time I know what to look for." He winked at her.
"The ripple." She studied his patient gaze. "And your tag?"
"Don't let the tag concern you, Joe. It's set so if their energy touches you, you'll loop again."
"So you've got time to save me?"
Joe fought to hide her delight and couldn't.
"Yes.
And now they know it too." His happy tone became serious.
"Doctor, what was the warning?"
"Under my protection, I won't allow them to mess with you." Joe took a moment to digest this.
"You were with me the whole time, weren't you?"
"Joe, I'm always with you. In here." He pointed to her head. "And here." He then pointed to her heart. With a smile, the doctor turned and addressed the cab driver.
"Pull over!"
Joe gazed around.
"Here? In the middle of nowhere?"
"It's where I left the old girl." For one bright moment, she wanted to go with him. No point this time. He wouldn't let her. He was going to leave her like this. Disappear as he had done before. "Joe?" The doctor stared with such focus. She was, in that moment, his entire universe. How many companions had felt the same way? Despite the thought, she fell into his gaze. "Joe, I've lost too many. I'll lose more. I wasn't willing to let you go. Not before your time. A better time."
"Of course." She'd heard. "I'm so sorry, Doctor. Last December, the brig..."
He died peacefully in bed. No doubt the doctor wanted as peaceful an end for her. The doctor looked surprised. Too many emotions at war in his eyes. Time to make this easier for him. Joe reached out and took hold of the door handle. Before she pulled it shut, she said, "Thank you, Doctor."